Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind.
Welcome into the show. It was a big weekend. You heard a lot of that this morning. A lot of excitement about the basketball in this city. Do want to let you know Michael Carroll is filling in for Sean.
Hello.
So you heard Michael here on Friday with his segment where he tells you what you should or shouldn't watch.
Is that not what I'm here for?
No.
Oh.
Not 2 hours worth. But I will invite the questions because our phones now work again. So if you want to ask Michael a question about maybe something you recommended that you watched and you liked or did not like, he's here for that. He'll be here today because we got moving parts again. So Michael's in for Sean. I believe Sean will be back tomorrow. I think Sean's working later today, but he'll be back on this show tomorrow. Okay, so normally when you have your Major League Baseball team come back from six runs down and take a series, you lead with that. And in fact, we will lead with that because why not switch it up a little bit? Let's hear Yordan with his game-tying homer, courtesy of the guys over at Space City Home Network.
Eighth inning, and now Jackson the ninth. Yordan crushes one all the way back, and we are tied up. Upper tank shot for 44. The Astros down six have come back like the Cougars last night at 7-7.
Hi, Poppy. Taking the high heat and getting into the upper tank.
Todd Callis, that Houston pride, tying that in to the Cougs. And, of course, Michael Carroll, giant Cougs fan. He has his polo on, of course. It's like Pavlov's dog. As soon as I say Cougs, he throws up.
I mean, as soon as you say it every time, I got to do it.
Yeah, he throws it up, and it's a time for it. So we'll get it. We'll certainly get into the Cougs. But the Astros, nice series win after getting swept at home by the Giants. All it takes was getting away from home, and they got a little bit back on track. It is funny rewatching the highlights to think we're one Rafael Montero hanging breaking ball that Carlos Correa barely pulled foul from that home run just being a footnote in a game they lose. At that point, it would have been 9-5. Would have been made it 9-7. Instead, a foot or two foul, however many feet it was foul, doesn't put the game away for the Twins. And you heard the Yordan home run, and of course the Astros win it an extra. So they take 2 out of 3. Not a great start for Ronel Blanco, which was the concern coming off what he did last year. Could he duplicate it? And so far, not so much. So, but they do take 2 out of 3. We will take that. No problems in extra innings and closing it out. So the Astros go up to Minnesota, take 2 of 3 from Carlos Correa. All right, moving on. Just decided, you know what? Let's just play the home run call because at least it's something for the Astros. We're probably not going to mention them that much considering what happened in basketball this weekend. As a person who has recently experienced a team going on a Final Four run and then playing nothing like that in the Final Four, in the national semifinal, I recognize what was going on with the Cougs. It's got to be a shock to the system. Michael can talk about it. When you, particularly them, they've been great all year. They win the Big 12 regular season title. They win the tournament. And then they win the first four games. Sure, there's some bobbles. Gonzaga makes it close. Purdue fought back. Of course, goes to overtime. And then you have Tennessee, which you ran away from. Even they made a run, but you knocked down threes thanks to Malik Wilson and Emmanuel Sharpe to put that game away. But they didn't look like themselves. And I know, and that feeling is one of the worst feelings. Like, oh, no. This is how this is going to be. We're not even going to play our brand in basketball and lose a game like this. We're allowing easy layups because we're overcommitting to Cooper Flagg, and understandably, great player. You couldn't handle him one-on-one early, so you're trying to help, and it's leaving easy layups. And, of course, you're shading to his way, so Knipple's coming off screens and down screens and knocking down threes. It's like, oh, man, this isn't the team I recognize. This isn't the team that ran through the Big 12. This is a team that looks more like the start of the year where you're losing games and people, maybe not seriously, but you know that little, what's going on with the Cougs? They lost a couple games. What's that about? That's what that team looked like early, and not just early. You get into the second half, and you're asking yourself, do we have a run in us? Do we have a run in us? And then Cooper Flagg looks like the number one overall pick. He keeps making plays, and you think to yourself, it'd be nice to have one of those guys. It'd be nice to have the best player in basketball who won the Wooden Award. And that's the difference, because it was looking bleak until it wasn't. Until the Cougs, maybe you want to say they wore Duke down with their pressure, or Duke got tight. I don't know what you want to call it other than one of the more dramatic wins in program history, if not the most dramatic, and certainly one of the bigger, if you want to look at it from a negative angle, why not? I like to do that. One of the bigger collapses in NCAA history. It was all of that, and the Cougs will, at least from this side of the lens, be looked at as a team who persevered and fought back and would never say die, and you can't bury them. That was a lot of the talk from the national people about this Cougs team. You can't bury them. They kept referencing what happened against Kansas, where they were down by six with about 9 seconds to go. They knocked down three, forced a turnover. Sound familiar? This time, Malik Wilson didn't make the three like he did against Kansas, I believe, to tie it. But either way, that led to the Tugler dunk, and it was a bit of a up and down last, let's say, 2 minutes for JoJo Tugler.
A little bit.
You've got. Now, he made a great block. He had that closing dunk, or at least the dunk that got him within one. And, of course, it's funny, if he doesn't swipe at the ball when it's still in the guy's hands, the game may be tied at the time he makes that dunk. It's just how it played out. But either way, it was him not allowing that moment to crush him. It was Milos Uzan being someone who was just fine subbing in and out of the game because he didn't particularly shoot the ball well, and Kelvin Sampson was making offense, defense type things with him. So he was in it for a possession, then out for a possession, depending on which end of the court he was in or which end of the court the ball was on. It did not matter. Everybody found a way, and then you credit, if you want to call them the old guys, when it came down to knockdown free throws, Roberts and Cryer did what they had to do. I was wondering, because of the amount of time left, would Sumlin, dang it, I haven't done that in a
doing?
Long time.
What are you doing?
When I talk about the Cougs in my past, I've said a lot of Kevin Sumlin. At least I didn't call Kelvin Kevin.
Thank you.
Kelvin Sampson, I wonder what he was going to do. Was he going to miss on purpose to not allow Duke a chance to kind of organize something? He did the smart thing, at least in my eyes. He put a man on the inbounds. It was Tugler again this time. He knew not to slap at the ball. And, of course, Cryer made it to two free throws. You've got speaking of this team and how active they are and just how they don't give up, we talked about the Tugler play. But that came from multiple guys getting their hands on the ball to cause a turnover. You had, was it Malik Wilson at first? And then I think Sharp kept it in bounds.
Yeah.
And then it got back to Wilson. Of course, he misses a three and then Tugler with the dunk. But even on the final play, you've got Cryer with the smallest guy on the floor. He gets his hands on it. Sharp is smart enough, although he maybe had been smart to foul the guy inside the arc, but he doesn't foul. He's worried about it. And even though Duke got a shot off, Cryer gets his hands on the ball again and ruins any chance of Proctor getting a shot that was anywhere that had any chance of going. Of course, he had to turn his back to the goal, look at the clock, and then, okay, I got to just toss the thing up. And, of course, he misses it. Just their activity. The guys didn't wear down. They wore Duke down, and now they're in the national title game, which for the better part of a Saturday night felt like an improbability. until they made it happen. So
it was looking rough in that second half, being down by 14 at one point.
That pit in your stomach where you're like, what happened to my team? This isn't the team I watched. This isn't the team I root for. Is Duke really that much better? Is Cooper Flagg just going to be too much? And for, I don't know, you want to say 30 minutes or so? He was.
And with the way they were shooting at first, they started the game 3 for 15, and at one point it was 6 for 24. Yeah. It just, those shots not going down early on, it was like, oh no.
This is the Coug teams we remember from the past, not the Coug team from this year, which was much better offensively than they ever have been. I mean, Kelvin Sampson talked about the transition from Shedd to Uzan, and of course, you're never going to get the same type of defense because Jamal Shedd can lock down guys on the NBA level. He was certainly doing it in college, but Uzan brought a different ability to make shots. Of course, Jamal would make a big one or two, but Uzan has the ability to knock down consistently from range. I think he's like a 40% three-point shooter.
I believe so, yeah.
And Saturday night was not the night. It just felt like, oh, man. Because the defense was good enough where Duke's not running away from them, but every shot they made felt like it was worth 6 points because of how badly the Cougs were shooting. Until they got going late and kept themselves in it in the first half, eventually it was like 34-28.
Yeah, if LJ Cryer is not hitting like he is in the first half, that game's very different, right? Like he had, I think it was like half the U of H's points at one point in that first half. So it's a different feel for that game if they're knocking down their shots early on. They don't, but then they come back in the second half, of course, and get hot late. And they made Duke work for every basket, though, as well. Like, besides the ones where, like, they came to do help defense on Cooper Flagg, and Cooper was able to find somebody on open really quickly. They were able to make them work for majority of their shots. Nothing was easy for Duke.
It wasn't. And it's a team that will defend and defend and defend. It's been the calling card no matter good offensively they were this year. How they stay in games is to get after you, force you to play a way you don't want to play, and eventually it beats people down. And it beat a team down that did not have a lot of these games. Jay Billis talked about it before and after the game. Duke does not play or did not play a lot of competitive games, not like Houston did. In fact, I think it's over there, Michael. Jay Billis on the aftermath of the game and what led to it. He talks about just the environments that Houston played in and why that led to them being able to come back. Here's Jay Billis on the Duke-Houston semifinal.
Houston's win over Duke in the Final Four was absolutely extraordinary. Give credit to the Cougars. Relentless is really hard to beat. And tough as nails is really hard to beat. And when they were down 14 in the second half, Houston kept fighting. When they were down 7 with a minute 26, Houston kept fighting. They wouldn't let Duke inbound the ball. They got steals. Manuel Sharp hits a gigantic 3 after a shot fake and Cooper Flagg flies by. They took advantage of a missed front end of a 1-1, a foul. LJ Cryer knocks down big free throws. Juwan Roberts, a 62% free throw shooter, who had 11 rebounds and made maybe the defensive play in the game, putting pressure on Cooper Flagg's last shot to force him into a fadeaway 2. You got to give great credit to Kelvin Sampson and his Houston Cougars. Toughness, relentlessness. That's a great basketball team. And the bottom line is Houston lives in close games. They have all year long. 4 losses, most of them early in the season, but 3 of those losses were in overtime. And Duke had the largest margin of victory of the season in the country. They didn't live in close games. And I ultimately think that was the difference. When there was game pressure on both teams at the end, Houston was a little bit better at knowing how to handle that. And they handled it all the way to the national championship game where they'll play Florida. Just an extraordinary Saturday of basketball with Florida and Houston headed to the championship game.
Yeah, we haven't talked much about the challenge tonight. It'll be Clayton Jr. and Florida who have had their comebacks. They fought back against Auburn on Saturday night, and we go back to Tech, and that felt like they were dead in the water until Clayton took over. So the difference between what you'll see tonight and what you saw on Saturday, the guard, the dynamic guard from Florida is different. He's older. He has proven through this tournament he can be depended on. Will the Cougs' pressure and relentlessness bother him? He has stepped up to every challenge, and there is just a difference between a great young player like Cooper Flagg and even Knipple, who's supposed to be a top 10 pick, and even a guy who just like got into the first round in some mock drafts. But he's just been around a long time, and he certainly has been a dude that's been counted on throughout his career. It'll be up to the Cougs to find a way. And I bring up his name partly because of what happened last night in Golden State. He's not Steph Curry, but he's Florida's version of that. And the Rockets torture Steph Curry as far as in a basketball way to an awful night. I can't remember many worse games of his career than what the Rockets put him through last night. We'll talk about how important or not important that game was, what it means. And I mean, if we go by how the Warriors were acting after the game, Draymond and Steph, they didn't seem very bothered by it. It's just maybe speaks to them being around so long and doing it for so long that it doesn't matter. So we'll get to that. We'll continue to talk Cougs. And I'll ask you this, Michael. The Cougs were, sure, our number one seed, but they weren't the overall number one. So they had to pick a road jersey, and that'll be the same tonight because Auburn was the higher overall seed. You good with the black, or would you have wanted the red jerseys on Saturday? Because we saw the promo pictures that they took, and they were wearing black. So that was obviously a clue that those could be the ones they wore. They certainly brought the white jerseys because they're playing Florida. So they'll get to wear the white jersey they want because Florida was a lower seed than them. But how do you feel? Would you have rather went with the traditional red, or are you good with the black?
I'm good with the black, but I'm just partial to that color combination. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I understand people if they want it, they prefer the red. But I'm good either way. I think both look very, very nice.
And we'll get to see them in their home lights as they try to close the deal. And he throws up. Okay.
It's going to happen all throughout the show.
Understood. Great moment, but you don't want it to be. You don't actually. What I meant to say is, you want it to be like the Miracle on Ice. You don't want it to be a footnote in a game, in a run where you don't win it. No one remembers the game against Finland. See, I say I had to think. I think the U.S. national team played Finland to win the gold medal because they played the Russians for the semis. You would like this moment from, or at least that moment from Saturday, to be the thing everyone points to as the defining moment, because the title game was one you won as well. If you win, it's a great collapse in Duke history, and you'll remember it somewhat fondly, but then you'll have the bitter aftertaste of losing to Florida. So let's close the deal. Hopefully the Cougs do it. I expect an ugly game just because of what both teams went through on Saturday to get it done and the relatively short turnaround. I think the Cougs win, but I don't know if it'll be aesthetically pleasing. Hopefully it's not a stress ball of a game, but you never know. So we will continue to talk Cougs. If you want to get in, because the phones now work, you can, 713-780-3776. And certainly we'll get into the weekend that was beyond the Cougs, because a lot of NBA to discuss as your Rockets have a big weekend. They beat two of the best teams in basketball. At least one's historically speaking. The other is actually the best team as far as record is concerned, and they handle them. So we'll get to that when we come back. But first, I want to talk to you about Monument Chevrolet. It's a place you go to when you want a new car. It's the best place. Let me put it that way. If you're looking for a Chevy, that's where you go. Whether you're looking for a Silverado 1500, which is part of their employee pricing, which means you get what their employees pay. And you know the savings come from that because they treat their employees like family. And they'll treat you like that as soon as you get on the lot. And maybe once you get on that lot, you meet Sammy. He's a salesperson of the week. I do want to shout out Luis, because Luis was the salesperson of the week last week. He's a native Spanish speaker. I think I gave the name Sammy, so I took some of Luis's shine away. So Luis, apologies, but you can talk to Luis or Sammy. They're both great to deal with. Luis is a Spanish speaker if you want to do business in that language, or you want to talk to Sammy. So either way, whoever you meet out there, they're going to set you up with a great car. If you want to get a little preview of what you might be able to see, go to monumentchevrolet.com. It's where all those cars are, whether they're pre-owned or new, or maybe you need something for your fleet. They're there for you. And the best part about it is, once you see the price there and you go out to the lot in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225, the prices don't change. The price you see on the website is the price you see when you get there. No hidden fees, no upcharges, because they know the car buying experience can be a little tricky. They want to make it as easy for you as possible. So check them out on the website, then go on out there and get the best car you could imagine at Monument Chevrolet. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
How would you describe the resiliency of your team down the stretch there?
You know, no one ever loses at anything as long as you don't quit. Now, when you quit, then I don't care if you've lost. Our thing in our timeouts, we've been here before. It's not like we're down 20. It's not like we were playing great. We felt like if we could get it close enough to put some game pressure on them, then something good could happen. But all the credit, all the glory goes to God, and all the credit goes to these unbelievable young men I get to coach. I'm so blessed I get to coach these kids.
Kelvin Sampson, right after the game. The video of watching, well, a lot of videos of just a guy celebrating afterwards, pretty amazing. Now, they didn't look shocked by their win, just very excited, because sometimes you can't even believe it, what happened. That was more the Duke side, where they were probably walking away from that thing without any real understanding of how they got there. I'm sure they thought, at several points, that this was theirs, that this was over, that this team, the other side, sure, they will keep coming, but they can't beat us. Not the way Cooper's playing. And it all, I won't say like flipped all of a sudden. It just felt like this game was going one way until it wasn't. There were times when the Cougs got close enough. I think they might have been within like four, maybe 59, 55, something like that. And then Florida. I'm watching Florida on the TV right now. And then they Duke stretched it out to about nine because the Cougs had a chance, 59-55, with the ball, could not score. And then Duke kind of pushed them aside for a little bit and got some distance. But that didn't dissuade the Cougs. They kept fighting, and you saw the outcome. And you heard Kelvin Sampson talk about it. You don't quit.
You keep going. Sleep on Houston.
You don't. Yeah, that was him saying without saying. Hey, a lot of disrespect. We feel like people don't understand how good we are. Maybe he didn't appreciate being an underdog. Well, he's an underdog tonight too. It's less. It's about, I think, a point and a half.
1.5. Yeah.
Yeah. Florida's up, so the Cougs still not the favorite. But when you beat the team who everyone thinks is going to win a national title, that's Vegas' thoughts, because Gary Parrish, we might hear him a little bit later, he thinks the Cougs are winning, longtime college basketball analyst. But the odds say that Florida should win. I don't think that's going to play out that way. We will see. Okay, so we got a national final tonight. Crazy to say, right? Not that the Cougs weren't a real legitimate candidate for it, but they've been close. They've been in one Final Four before this year. They've had a disappointment of guys being hurt and short-circuiting runs. This time, you had some concerns about Malik Willis with the head injury. He did play against Tennessee. And, of course, Juwan Roberts back to the Big 12 tournament where we were wondering about his ankle. But they've come through this tournament healthy. They're going to have their full squad, which is something that's been rarely said about the Cougs in the tournament. And you've seen how it's played out. Is it that Jim Nance isn't calling games anymore? Is the curse broken? Because Jim Nance...
It's finally broken.
Because the whole... Now, it was last year, too, but Jamal Shedd got hurt. So, but the thing was, Jim Nance was trying to do this so he can call the Cougs in the Final Four because he saw, and rightfully so, that they're going to have chance after chance to make it. The closest he came was... Actually, he did call the Final Four. Didn't he call? He called the Final Four against Baylor, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
I guess more to say, the chance to call the Cougs winning a national title, and maybe he thought his best shot was three seasons ago. Three seasons ago
about
now.
Three, yeah.
When they had the Final Four in town, they were the number one seed, and then a hot shooting night by Miami took them out. Of course, Texas thought they had their chance too, and Miami did beat them. So. Now he can just sit and watch, and now he's going to be able to be at the national title game watching. Does Jim Nance get on the court first, or does Akeem? Because we saw that. we saw that over the weekend.
I hope Akeem gets on the court.
They win the national title. I imagine the people in San Antonio won't have the same issue like they did on Saturday night. Let's have them all on the court.
I mean, all of them, yes.
Yeah, let's get them all on the court. Let's not have someone have to come over and vouch for Hakeem Olajuwon. Let me just say this for anyone who may be listening who's in security. Now, I understand you have a job to do. Like the people who let the fake CJ Stroud into the rodeo, that's a bad job.
Bad look.
You're bad at your job.
Bad look.
But if there's a 7-footer older gentleman wearing cougar red, assume he is a dignitary and let him on the floor.
Just let him on.
Hey, no one's going to come after you if you let the 7-foot, make the assumption, the 7-footer who played for the Cougs, if you let him on the floor, I think you're going to be good.
Do you think they set up pictures for tonight? Like, okay, this is Jim Nance, everyone. Let him through. This is Hakeem. Let him through.
Yeah. Who else will be? Clyde and his son will both be at the game. He told I think, Paper City Mag. So if you see Clyde.
Let him through.
Let him through. The son, I understand if you don't recognize, but he's probably with Clyde.
Yeah.
Let him on the floor.
Clyde plus one.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not be a stickler on this time.
Let's chill out with that.
Yeah. If they're wearing Cougar Red. And they're above 6'5".
I don't know if Elvin. I don't know if Elvin Hayes is going to be there, but if he's there, let him through.
Yeah, this should be a simple thing. If you look like you played basketball because you're a foot or more taller than me, you can get on the floor. I mean,
it's that simple.
Rob Gray, tough luck, buddy. I want you there. I don't know where you are, but under our rules, you don't get on the floor.
So you have to be 6'11", 7 foot, yeah, somewhere in that range.
You look like a normal human being, taller than most, but still like a normal human being. So I'm not sure it's going to go well for you.
They're providing measuring tape for everyone. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. Rob Gray, maybe someone can vouch for you. Maybe that's how you get on the floor if it comes down to that. So we will have Cougar dignitaries in attendance, and hopefully they have a really good night. And who's really looking for the Gators to win a national title? Who's looking for that?
Nobody.
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 Except for that little town in Central Florida, Gainesville. I'm trying to think of major city teams to win basketball national titles. Big city, major markets. If we go back, mostly it's reserved for college towns. I mean, it's a long time ago, 94 UCLA, you get that one. But as far as these big markets going on to win national titles, I mean, UConn, that stores, that doesn't qualify. And congratulations to the UConn winning a national title. They beat up on South Carolina yesterday afternoon. But I can't think of many major market teams to win. I was thinking about that yesterday, and I felt like I came up with a name in the last 30-plus years, but it's few and far between.
UCLA and USC are the only two that I can think of off the top of my head.
And USC is for a football title.
Right.
But as far as, like, what do we think about, this is more football. What do we think about Columbus? It's had two pro teams. I mean, they're like soccer and hockey. I love soccer. But they're not getting a football or basketball or baseball team.
And I wouldn't qualify them as a major market either.
Now, this is our sports bubble, but when we think of Columbus, we think about Ohio State.
Right,
they would probably say there's more to us than Ohio State, but yeah, sure, whatever.
No, it's Ohio State.
Yeah, but for us, like Houston, sure. Cougs are in the city, but there's a lot going on here that you could get to before you might start talking about the Cougs. I can't think of many. I'm sure I'm missing on a major city winning a college basketball title in the last 30 years. I just can't think of one besides the UCLA team back with Toby Bailey and Ed O'Bannon. So if you got one, let me know. I can't think of any right now. 713-780-3776. So we will continue to talk to Cougs, but we'll get to the Rockets when we come back. We will hear from Steve Kerr on the team who came into San Francisco and won. The Rockets had a game plan for Steph Curry. These are the types of games where you pull that game plan out that, hey, if you see us in the playoffs, this is what you're going to get. It doesn't happen all the time in the regular season. You might ask, why not put your best foot forward all the time? There's some thought maybe we don't want to show anybody anything of what we might do, but the Rockets had a specific game plan that we have not seen from them against Steph in their previous games, and, well, they broke it out, and it worked. We'll talk about what the Rockets did. But if you want to call in, I see you, Willie P. We'll get to you. Certainly calls go first, but we will get to a big weekend for the Rockets when we come back. I can't hear you, Michael.
Aqueduct.
Oh,
you love Aqueduct Plumbing.
I do like Billy Brown and Aqueduct Plumbing. I just thought, hey, time to go to break. I've talked enough. But I can't say more good things, or at least I will try. But I've said good things about Aqueduct Plumbing for a better part of a year now. You hear John and Lance talk about them, and they're the best place to go when you want someone to do your plumbing, and not just do your plumbing, but do it right. Because you can have someone come out to your home and you trust what they're going to do and they screw it up. That's not what Aqueduct Plumbing does. From the big jobs to the small jobs, Aqueduct Plumbing Company will take care of you. You can go to the website, aqueductplumbingcompany.com, to see all they have to offer. So when I say a big job, it might be a repipe. You don't know how to do a repipe. I don't know how to do a repipe. The people over there at Aqueduct Plumbing Company do, though. So that's why you get them on the line. You tell them what your problem is, and they'll take care of you. So that's the big job. Maybe you have a leak that you don't know how to fix. They'll take care of you there, too. They have a nice drop-down service menu where you can see all the things they do. From maybe you need a plumbing contractor. Maybe you need something to do with your water filter or drain cleaning. It's all there for you. And you can call them at 281-488-6238. That's the number. Get yourself a free price quote. If you don't know what's going on and you need someone to tell you, not charge you for it, they'll do that for you as well. So go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to what Steve Kerr said about the Rockets after their win over the Warriors, but let's hear from Willie P. What's up, Willie P?
Hey, good morning, Del. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Not bad. I can't complain. Before I get started, real quick, Michael Carroll, what's your middle initial? I need to know.
S.
F?
S.
F?
S. S. Like sister.
Yeah,
S.
Sister, Sam, something like that.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, all right, cool. All right, anyway, so my wife, she's an alumni at UConn. You know, I'm currently a 37-year-old student at the University of Houston. And she was just beside herself and so tickled watching South Carolina get the brakes beat off of them yesterday. And this morning we woke up. Today's my son's birthday. Shout out, Enzo. Happy birthday. My wife goes, you know, I hope you get to experience the joy I felt yesterday. So I've been on edge all day. I swear, if they don't win tonight, I that lady can't sleep in my home. but Saturday's game was amazing. Real quick with the Rockets, I love what we did last night. I know Draymond Green tried to assert his dominance and got the flagrant on Şengün. You know what? Şengün didn't bite. He didn't fall for it. We held out tough, and we dogged him. It felt good to be a Rockets fan last night and watch that. You know, I didn't know how the weekend was going to go versus OKC going to State, but we pulled out two dubs. Can't complain with that. I'm happy. Let's go Rockets. Let's go Cougars. You guys have a great day. Love the show. Michael S. Carroll. What it do, baby? Peace, fellas.
Now I know why you wanted your middle initial.
I thought I fell into like a trap of like giving my first street address or something like
that. That's the cadence of Sean A. Mapes. What it do, baby?
He needed your initial. I got you. I got you. Well done.
Now he knows next time you're in. I was going to ask if you are a 37-year-old student, does it feel different than if you went there when you're 18, 19, 20, like during the traditional college years? This is not a shot at Willie P. I was just wondering, because sometimes your fandom, well, certainly if you're a sports fan, your fandom is developed by the time you're 37. So now that if he went to college someplace else, has going to Houston changed how he feels about that previous team? Like my friend Kevin G. Joseph, who is a giant Cougs fan, that's not the place he initially went to. He went to UH when he was in his 30s, I believe. So... But he's all in. But he's a Houston-born dude, so maybe Willie P's the same way, and he was always going to root for the Cougs. But however the Cougs find their fans, cool, because this is a big moment. And, well, since the 80s, the biggest moment in really the school sports history. Like, yeah, Herman wins a Peach Bowl or whatever the hell he won, whatever he won, sure. But this one.
No, this one's different, though.
This one's different.
For the new age fans. And I was going to say, like, with – U of H, I went there from 2009 to 2012, and the fandom there has gotten better, obviously, but it also helps when you have Kelvin Sampson build a program like they have. But it's also a commuter school, so the fandom is different, and you could have like the older fans, like it's all mixed together, I feel like. So it's definitely a school that's easy to root for, no matter, you know, and feel that school pride on campus, no matter where you're at in your age.
It's your moment, man. Let's hopefully you come in. Actually, I hope they win so, and you're so up in arms about it and so joyous about it that you call in. Like, not today. I'm not coming in. I'm not coming on Tuesday. Sorry, guys.
For your sake.
Yeah.
You want me? Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't speak to your PTO. I'm just saying, if...
Oh, I got days.
Oh, there it is.
I got days.
I hope you choose not to come in because you had a time last night, not because you're depressed. That's kind of the gist of what I'm saying. Hope it's a big night. Hopefully it turns into a celebration, and then we can answer the question.
Where's Joe? Joe, I'm taking off tomorrow.
Well, there it is. and then we can answer the question, what kind of parade, or is there a parade, if you win a national title in basketball in the city?
Yeah, they should. Why not?
We'll see.
I would assume.
I haven't heard about any potential planning. Maybe they don't want to jinx anything.
I wouldn't jinx it, yeah.
But you have to start planning. And maybe they started in earnest yesterday because they wanted to wait to see if they won the semifinal. So we'll have that question answered for us if the Cougs can pull it off and finish the deal and beat Florida tonight. Art answered the question for us. Major city to win a basketball national title? Villanova, Philadelphia. For whatever reason, I don't think about Villanova and Philadelphia being the same, but they are.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I wonder, that they popped in my mind, but I thought it was a smaller town. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's a smaller school in the city. I think Temple is the giant school, or as big as it can be in Philly. But Villanova is that school, major city to win a national title. Let's see if the Cougs can do that as well. Okay, let's get to the other basketball team in town who had a great weekend. They decimated Oklahoma City, and Oklahoma City's had a rough weekend. They lose to the Rockets, and then they get their doors blown off at home by the Lakers. So the questions about whether OKC was going to go for 70 wins, well, the Rockets wiped that off the board, and then the Lakers were like, yeah, we think we got a real shot to beat you too, and they put it on them yesterday. But as far as the Rockets are concerned, they beat OKC. They dominated with their big lineup. They went double bigs, and OKC had issues last year on the boards. Now they didn't have Chet. Now they had Chet Holmgren, but they didn't have Hardenstein. I've heard people go in the same take, go from Hardenstein to Hardenstein, the same person. So I don't feel bad not saying it consistently because the same people in the same sentence will do it. I'm going to stick with Hardenstein for the segment since I started it that way. If his name is Hardenstein, apologies. I'll do that the next time I talk about
you. I think it's Hardenstein.
Well, I said Hardenstein.
Okay, we're going Hardenstein.
Fine, it's Hardenstein. I was just going to be Hardenstein and be consistently wrong, but since you're correcting me.
I was helping you.
I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying I'd rather be consistently wrong instead of fluctuate, but I'm going to fluctuate the Hardenstein. I'm going to track this and see if I'm right or wrong, and then I'll blame you if it is Hardenstein.
I'll take the blame. I'll take the heat.
We will see. But they didn't have Hardenstein or Hardenstein last year, and it was a big reason why they acquired him from the Knicks, or at least they assigned him in the offseason because they wanted more size. The Rockets, we know they traded for a former Thunder. He wasn't a Thunder at the time, but Steven Adams has a history with that team. He didn't play last year. They traded for him knowing that at some point he could be a contributor to them, and he's been that way this year. The off-on numbers for Steven Adams, as far as maybe I should put it this way, it's plus-minus. It's been pretty good. The double bigs has worked, and when it first came, we talked about it, and Ime said, hey, it's going to be determined by situation, not just a full-on thing. Well, I appreciate that, Coach, but maybe we lean into it more because it's one of the Rockets' better lineups when Steven Adams and Şengün are on the floor. There's just too much size, too much activity for a lot of teams in this league who want to play small. And the team they played last night wants to play small. They believe their best five is one where Draymond Green's their center. And that goes back to their depth lineups back when they were winning titles. Did not play well last night. And Draymond got into his Draymond thing. And as you heard Willie P say, the Rockets didn't bite. The Rockets took that game personally from start to finish. They didn't really like the talk that was surrounding them compared to the rest of the teams in this league. And they wanted to use this weekend to prove to people that, hey, we're in it too. Now, I don't think regular season basketball is going to change the opinions of people when it comes to how will this team perform in the playoffs. All the Rockets can do is change those minds for those people by playing great basketball in the playoffs. Here's Steve Kerr on that Rocket team and what he saw from them last night.
They're pretty comfortably in two right now. What is, you know, from afar have you seen that has, you know, made them such a success this year?
Just athleticism, defense. They have an identity. You know, Ime's done a great job just kind of establishing who they are. They've got a lot of great athletes. I mean, you know, several years in a row in the lottery, they've put together a really good roster, good free agent signings with Van Vliet and Brooks. So formidable team for sure.
Steve Kerr. Formidable. And I think that's a perfect word for them because I don't know what the Rockets' ceiling is. I don't know what their floor is as far as these playoffs. Could they be a first-round exit? Sure. Could they use their physicality and athleticism to make their way into a conference final? That's possible. We will watch that play out. But last night, they held Curry to 3 points in 33 minutes. He was 1 for 10. And you could see late when he was desperate to get going that the shots were desperate. They're desperation shots. He was shooting in spots that, sure, he can make them. But on a night like last night where he wasn't shooting the ball well and they were making it very difficult on him, those shots didn't look like they had a chance of going in. The only thing you would think, oh, it's Steph Curry, so maybe. But just the way those shots went up, just the way the defense the Rockets were playing was affecting him, I didn't think those shots were going to go in, and they didn't. So the Rockets win 106-96. And credit to Jalen Green, who at least for parts of the game shot didn't shoot the ball well, but late he put on like this 10-point spurt that kind of silenced any potential comebacks for the Warriors. So he had a good weekend as well as he, along with Dylan Brooks, were big in that game. Of course, Alpi was big too. Just the size of the Rockets, it's going to be a problem for teams because the Lakers don't really have a center they want to play. Jackson Hayes is not a guy they want to play. You look around the rest of the league in the West, Zubac is pretty good. So he's a guy, though a potential battle between him and Şengün would be a bit of a war. Other than that, you look around the potential challengers. Jaren Jackson Jr. is a big, but he's more a perimeter guy. He has won Defensive Player of the Year before. A little fake, but whatever, he won it. So there are talented bigs, but those guys, particularly Jaren Jackson, don't want to play the way Şengün wants to play and certainly doesn't want any part of Steven Adams. So can that big lineup be a factor in the playoffs? I think so. I think Ime Udoka would continue to pick his spots, but it's just something other teams can't match right now. And you have the activity of Amen along with Jabari and, of course, Jalen and Fred and everyone else. It's a team that has different ways, at least to roll the lineup out there. We will see when other teams begin to put together specific game plans for them, how they adjust. And that was part of the game last night. The Rockets were going to face guard Steph Curry, make it as difficult for him as possible. And you always want to try to do that, but you see teams don't always approach it the way the Rockets do. And partly is because they don't have an Amen Thompson. He was denying inbounds. Normally, the inbound is, all right, there's a little token pressure. The guy's going to give you a little push to get it off of you, and then he's going to inbound the ball to, and then the ball's going to be inbound to him. He's going to head up the court. That was not the case throughout portions of that game. Amen was locked on to Steph on inbounds plays from the baseline, sideline, no matter what. I'm not gonna let you get the ball. And if you do, it's gonna be a difficult opportunity for you to get the ball up the court. He just hassled him. And it was him, it was others, but Amen being their star defender is gonna get a lot of the credit, and rightfully so. So I will say this, not that opposing teams are listening. I would suggest you look to see if one's on the floor and if you see him on the floor, don't assume any rebound, even if you have two hands on it, is yours. Look around. Before you attempt to make a pass, look around, because he will always slap out a ball. Like, you watch a defensive rebound by an opponent, and if Amen's on the floor and anywhere in the vicinity, he will attack the basketball to see if he can slap it out of your hand before you make that pass. Just a word of advice. No rebound is safe. And even after you get the rebound, what we assume is the relatively easy outlet pass isn't safe. Just take a look. Look to your left and your right. Objects are closer in the mirror than they appear. He's right there. He is like a shark when it comes to going after the basketball, and he hears the Jaws music every time you have the ball in your hand, so be careful. Or don't, and let him gain a possession or two from the Rockets per game because you're not wary of who he is and what he's about. So a big weekend for basketball in the city, and we got one more game. We will see what the Cougs can do as, of course, on ESPN right now, you've got Sean Farnum, of all people. I didn't know he was still a guy they would go to.
Really?
Sean Farnum, former UCLA Bruin. Oh, see? Now I know why they don't go to him. He's picking Florida to win.
Boo.
Yeah, he picked Florida. Well, it is, I guess, almost 11 our time. So maybe Sean Farnum's the only guy they could get. The other guys are in. I'm sure he's probably in San Antonio, but maybe the other guy's like, hey, you're going to be using me all through the night tonight. You can use Sean. Right now,
he's got the early shift. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got the early shift. So we will talk more about the Cougs. We'll get into some other things that happened over the weekend. But hour one is over. If you want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776. We'll be back with hour two.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.